Well, what a blessing. Thank you for that wonderful encouragement to just praise our God together. And that's what we want to do as we prepare our hearts to partake in the Lord's Supper today, remembering Christ's death for us, his sacrifice on the cross. We really do have so much for which to be thankful. And I'm thankful just for the fellowship we have as believers that we can gather together, whether it's with the whole church family on Sunday morning or in Sunday school classes, life groups. We were with one of our Sunday school classes over the holidays, and it was really interesting. Many of us have committed, and I'm excited how many of you have shared with us that you've got a plan for the new year. You're looking to look to read some portion of God's Word daily. And I know some of us are doing the Through the Bible plan. And so we've been reading already this new week, first week in the new year. We've been reading in Genesis. We've been reading in Matthew as we are going to read through the Bible. And one of our groups was gathered in a home, and we were looking up some riddles that kind of fit with the passages we're reading about Adam. And, of course, we're reading about Noah in the book of Genesis. And so I've got a riddle for you this morning. I want to ask you this. What excuse did Adam give to his son as to why they were no longer in the Garden of Eden? Have you thought about that one? Well, here's the answer. We looked this up. I'm not sure that it's biblical, but I thought it was interesting. Your mother ate us out of house and home. So you'll have to think about that one for a little bit. And then we looked up another little riddle. It was, why didn't Noah go fishing? And, of course, the answer to that is he only had two worms. And so we're off to a good start in the book of Genesis. And I'm so thankful that apart from the riddles, many of you are taking this very seriously, that you're going to get into God's Word. You're going to get into a portion of God's Word every day, God helping you, and let God talk to your heart in this walk of faith. And of course, that's been our theme in this series we've been doing from the book of Hebrews, and we've carried it right on through the holiday season, is that we're walking by faith. We're living by faith. And we've learned from Hebrews that faith is just taking God at his word. It's believing what God says. And we've looked at wonderful examples that are encouraging us to see that ordinary people like you and me are encouraged as we look at other ordinary people who've gone before us, and they just chose to believe God and obey God, and God has blessed them. And we can look at history and we can see and learn from their lives and be encouraged. And of course, in that book of Hebrews chapter 11, we saw that the very first example God gave, he went in chronological order there, was right at the very beginning. Abel came and offered a blood sacrifice, foreshadowing the picturing of what we're celebrating today, that Christ would ultimately come and die and shed his blood as the payment and the forgiveness of our sin. And that we can't even worship God until we have a right relationship with God. It all starts with forgiveness. It all starts with salvation. That's what we're celebrating today, is the cross. Without the cross, we have no hope, but thank God for the cross. And God did accept Abel's sacrifice because he came through the blood. And that's how we come to God, is through the blood sacrifice of his son, Jesus, in our place. And then we've learned, of course, that it doesn't just end when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior by faith, but it begins a walk of faith. And we've seen in the Bible the examples like of Enoch, who just had a daily walk of faith. And he walked closer and closer and closer with God until God just took him home to heaven and translated him into God's presence. We learned about Noah working by faith and the fact that we're all given a role in life. We're to live out our life faithfully for God, and that our work does matter. That when we do whatever it is God's called us to do to God's glory, that is a life of faith. We're glorifying God even in our daily work. And then, of course, that key verse from Hebrews 11:6, that we're trying to memorize and get into our heart, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And to pray, God, give me grace. I want to be a diligent seeker after God. And I want to learn from the examples of those who've gone before me, some of whom were diligent seekers, some who were not. And I want to learn from those examples. And so I, again, appreciate the fact that many of you made it a goal that somebody said, if you plan, you fail to plan, you plan to fail. That you, I've got a plan for getting into God's Word. And whatever that plan might be, let God talk to you in that God and I time. Before you read God's Word, pray and say, Holy Spirit, I've accepted Jesus. Your Spirit lives in me. Teach me something about Jesus today. Teach me something about God. Teach me something about my life that my life might be changed to be more like Jesus. And as you get into God's Word, you'll find that God will meet with you. Someone has said the Bible is the one book that you can read and you'll always have the author with you. He's present with you. He's there to speak to you and to teach you. Well, we've learned through this holiday season some examples of faith. We've gone outside of Hebrews and we've looked at Mary, the example of one woman who believed God, obeyed God, and the difference God made in the whole world through her life of faith. We looked at Joseph, again, an ordinary man who trusted, obeyed God, how God blessed and worked through one man. And then, of course, we looked at the supreme example, Jesus, who gave himself the greatest gift ever given. Again, we celebrate that today. Last week, we looked at the Magi, the wise men, who worshiped by faith. They came and they just worshiped God with all their heart and soul, and they gave their best back to God. And today, we're going to focus in on the shepherds. The shepherds witnessed by faith. They believed and they became witnesses. They told others of what they had seen and heard. Let's focus in on them this morning because they can be a teaching tool for us to be witnesses of our faith in our world. Likewise, turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And as we read this familiar passage, just be reminded what a privilege it must have been for these shepherds, just ordinary guys out there at night keeping sheep under a starlit sky. And what happened right after the birth of Jesus? Mary had just given birth. Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, was laid there in the manger. And in the providence of God, who was the very first group to whom God announces the birth of God incarnate, Jesus Christ? It was these humble, hardworking shepherds out in a field. So let's pick up in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, if you follow along in your Bible. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, as we prepare our hearts for the communion, just two major thoughts I'd like to leave with us. The first one is this. God's good news is for all people. That's clear in this text. It's clear in this passage. If you'll think about it, last week we looked at the Magi. And we saw that God communicates to highly educated and privileged people who have humble, teachable, seeking hearts, as he did with the wise men. Remember, we read from Matthew chapter 2 and how they came from the east and they fell down and worshiped and they brought their treasures before God. And it's a reminder to us, God does care about everybody. Wherever their rank might be as far as finances or prestige, that doesn't matter. God loves everyone. And we studied how God had providentially allowed Daniel to be taken into captivity out of his homeland in Israel, carried over into Babylon. This happened 600 years before the birth of Christ. And how Daniel shared his faith just as a young man. He believed in God and the scripture. And all of the pagan teaching of Babylon couldn't change him. And he believed, and he had an impact on a group of scientists, scholars there called the Magi. They had very confused religious beliefs. But Daniel influenced them toward faith in God, the true God, the creator God, and the God of scripture. And so 600 years later, we saw that there was an influence, that there were still some within the Magi who believed the Bible. They believed biblical prophecy. And they were wealthy, they were privileged, but they weren't complacent. And they traveled over 1,000 miles by horseback to come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this sacrificial, sincere, obedient faith that God is at work in the hearts of all people all around the world, wealthy and humble, and whoever has a humble heart, it doesn't matter their status in life, God loves people. He loved the Magi. He is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But today we kind of see the contrast to that. Notice that God communicates to and uses ordinary, hardworking people who likewise have that humble seeking heart. The shepherds were out there taking care of sheep. That was their vocation. And they were out under starlit skies. And the angel of the Lord comes and the glory of God surrounds them. And the announcement comes straight from heaven through an angel that good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. And we see this, that God privileges these humble, ordinary, hardworking folks to be the first to come. Next step, Joseph and Mary, to see the incarnate Son of God. What an amazing thing. The announcement came first to them. It's a reminder to us of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:3. Blessed, or truly happy, with that deep happiness, that sense of well-being, are those who are the humble in heart. The Bible calls them the poor in spirit. When you humble your heart, God blesses you. He gives grace to the humble. And these shepherds, like the Magi, fit into that category. They had humble, seeking hearts. Now, the opposite is true. God resists the proud. Herod was proud. He was self-centered. He was egotistical. And he had no sense of his own lostness, his own need for God in his life. And thank God the shepherds saw it. They were out there taking care of sheep and marveling at the greatness of God in the night sky. They could see how God had created the heavens, and they recognized, I'm the creation. He's the creator. He is the awesome one. Life isn't all about me. I'm one little part of a huge creation here. And the greatest privilege of my life is being connected to the God who made it all. And so the Magi had that heart attitude. The shepherds had that heart attitude. They were in a place where they could be blessed. Well, what's the message then? God's good news is for everyone. The angel in verse 2 announces it. Good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. And we find that theme through scripture. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We read in 1 John 2:2, he, Christ, is the propitiation. He is the satisfaction for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. The idea of what we're celebrating here is there's satisfaction of God's holy wrath by the payment Jesus made. And that's what we celebrate in the cup, the blood of Jesus. It's by the blood of Christ that we're cleansed by his sacrifice for us on the cross. And so, have you seen yourself as the needy one? Have you humbled yourself? You see, salvation is only realized by those who humble themselves, and those who repent of their sin, and those who trust Christ. And so, it's so important for us each to examine our own heart. We don't come to examine each other. We come to God's word with a humble heart. God, show me, help me to see it's me, Lord, that's a sinner. I have failed you. I have not put you first in my life. I have broken your commandments. I did not honor and obey my parents at all times. I have stolen. I have lied. I have coveted. Lord, it's me. I am the sinner in need of a Savior. Have you come to that point? If you have, praise God. Praise God. You're in that same wonderful, blessed category as the shepherds who humbly believed God, obeyed God, as the Magi who believed God. And if you haven't trusted Him, I can't think of a better time than this very first Sunday of a new year to say, you know, it's time I become a Christian, that I accept Christ and put my faith in Him, that He died for me, He was buried, and that He rose again. Well, this is the first thought I wanted us to carry with us this morning, is that God's good news, it's for everybody. It's for everybody. The second thought is this, that God's glorious good news is centered in the person and work of Jesus. And of course, that's what we're celebrating here this morning. We're celebrating the person of Christ, that He's the incarnate Son of God, and the work of Christ, that He was born in that manger to go to the cross, to pay for our sins, to rise again, to ascend to heaven, to be our intercessor at the right hand of the Father, and the returning King of the earth, with whom we will praise God forever, and we will serve Him forever. This big picture of God's plan of redemption, it's all wrapped up in the person and the work of Jesus. Now let's learn from the example of the shepherds. Notice this, the shepherds heard the good news. They heard it. They heard with their ears the good news that will bring peace to the hearts of all who will believe. And that's what happened when the angel came and gave the message to them. They heard. In verse 10, He brought good tidings of great joy for all people of a Savior. And the babe would be wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then the angelic host joined in praising and worshiping God and saying glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. Now, we've looked at that through this whole holiday season. That in this particular season of history, God did much revelation through angels. An angel appeared to Mary. An angel appeared to Joseph. An angel appears here to the shepherds. And we realize that in the whole of Scripture, that's the exception, not the rule. That is, in the Old Testament, for hundreds and hundreds of years, you'll have no record of an angel speaking. God spoke, by and large, through the Old Testament, through the prophets. He gave Scripture. He gave the revealed Word of God. In the New Testament, God spoke through the apostles. And they, before their death, recorded inspired Scripture, which would be the truth and mind of God sufficient for faith and practice through this whole church age until Christ's return. And so we see here why, then again, it's so important for each of us to just treasure the Bible and to get into some kind of a Bible reading plan. Why? Because today, God's primary way is not to come to you through an angel and tell you God's will. The way God's going to lead you daily is as you humble yourself and say, God, you've already spoken. I just need to hear what you've said. And I humble myself. I want to hear from God every day. And I want to talk to God in prayer. Now, the shepherds heard. We need to hear. Then notice this. They received and believed what they heard. Do you see that in verse 15? They said one to another, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass. Now, they hadn't seen it yet, but they believed it. They just took God at His word. That's what God is teaching us, is to just believe God. Take God at His word. They didn't debate it. They didn't question it. They believed it before they saw it with their eyes. They believed. Isn't that what we've been reading in Hebrews? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the realization of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And so when they heard it, they believed it, and they obeyed what God told them to do. God is pleased with simple faith. God is pleased with simple faith. Well, the shepherds then obeyed. They obeyed and they experienced this good news in their own lives. See that in verse 16, that they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, someone has suggested that haste was the name of the sheepdog that came along with them, but you know that's not true. It just means they came quickly. And the Bible tells us, come, just come and believe what I tell you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. partake of God, believe of God. And so in believing and obeying, they saw with their own eyes Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. So the question we would need to ask ourselves is this: have I believed God? Have I taken him at his word that Christ died for my sins? That he does forgive me? That he does give me eternal life? Have I obeyed his call to repent and believe the gospel and follow Jesus? Am I experiencing Jesus in my life? Do I see him by faith in my daily life? Do I see him and hear his voice talking to me through scripture? Do I talk to him through prayer? Is there an intimate, growing faith relationship in my life? I pray there is, because that is God's will for me and it is his will for you. Well, notice this then, and it comes kind of the focus of our message today. The shepherds shared the good news that causes other people to marvel and to ponder. See that in verse 17? When they had seen it, they heard it first, then they saw it. It was real in their life. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They were communicators of their faith. They had faith, but they didn't hold it in. It wasn't a private faith. It was a public faith. It was a confessed faith. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She's pondering what God is doing in her life. Well, the shepherds shared the good news. They didn't keep it in. They shared it. And we now have the full revelation. We see how the redemptive plan all fits together, that he was the babe in the manger. He came to go to the cross. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended back to heaven. He's coming again. We have the whole picture. We even the more should have a strong faith that is a faith we love to share. I love to tell the story, that we love to communicate with other people. See, Mary is pondering these things. There are some people that twist truth. Herod twisted truth for his own personal means, for his own glory. But there are those who marvel at redemption's plan. And that we are among those. We marvel that God would include me in an eternal plan of salvation. Oh, what a marvel it is. And so because of this marveling and realization of the preciousness of the gospel, the shepherds found it their greatest joy to tell others. They just shared the good news. The shepherds lived the good news with changed lives of glorifying and praising God. See that in verse 20. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd seen and heard as it was told them. So do you get the pattern here? They heard, they believed, they obeyed, they experienced a relationship with God in Christ. And then they shared the good news. They told others of Christ's coming. Their lives were forever changed. Their lives became lives of praising God, glorifying God, living out the good news as living letters to others. They had to go back to daily work. You know, they took a break from the sheep. I'm sure somebody covered for the sheep while they were gone. It's kind of like you and me. Maybe you got a little break over the holidays. It's back to work. It's back to school. It's back to that everyday life. The shepherds did that too, but they went back different men. Glorifying and praising God was a part now of their daily life. That's God's purpose for us too. God-centered daily living. It's not a mundane life. We're not a people, because we live in a part of the world that has a lot of clouds in the winter, that just get depressed and we don't have a purpose for living. And oh, we would just be happy if we could be living somewhere else or doing something different. Our happiness does not come out of our environment or what's happening around us. Our happiness comes from what's going on inside of us. It's an inward faith relationship with God that gets sweeter and sweeter the longer we live, because Jesus is with us. He is real. And we're called to glorify him and praise him in the place where he put and places each of us. Now that brings us to a final point that I want us to dwell on. Kind of application. Living by faith and the priority of witness and outward focus is the pattern taught in Scripture. See, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. Churches, individuals, ministries, our own personal lives. We tend with time after we accept Christ to become inward in our focus. This is just a natural human tendency. When we come to faith in Jesus, we're excited about Jesus. We want other people to know about Him. And when churches first start out, they are others-oriented. They want to carry the gospel. That's why a church is being planted, is to carry good news to lost people. But if you track history, the tendency is that over time, the focus changes. And churches tend to focus on activities and ministries to meet the needs of the believers and the members. And the focus tends to move inward. One writer puts it this way, that churches start off proclaiming the Great Commission, and then we tend to become churches focused on the great comfort. Okay? How do we take care of ourselves? How do we meet our own needs? And so we often, with the time of our leadership, the time of our focus of our finances, we begin to shift to an inward focus, a focus on us rather than Christ and the gospel, and carrying the good news out to the people who have never heard. Now, this happened in the early church. It happened is a pattern that happened there, and we learn from history. When you look at the map of the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, two of the churches, I'll just pick out, the church at Ephesus. It was founded in the 60s A.D., so shortly after Christ's death, burial, resurrection. Revelation was written in 90 A.D., so about 30 years after their founding, the words are written there to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2:4. I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. They had this first zeal and love for Jesus and love for others to know Jesus, but they left that. Now, they still held to truth, but they lost that fervor. They lost that love. To the church at Laodicea in chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 15, He says, you're lukewarm. You're lukewarm. You have much materially, but you don't have spiritual eyes to see that you're impoverished spiritually. You don't have the right priorities. They didn't discern the difference between financial success and spiritual values and worth. They lost their focus. They became inward. Think of it with Jesus as being our perfect example. The example of Christ's life focused on both ministries to believers and witness to non-believers. Our call is to both. It's not, well, I can only do one. No, we have to trade the or from the and. We're called to both. See Jesus, He ordains 12 in Mark that they should be with Him. He's going to invest in those men. He's going to in-depth discipleship. Yes, a love for the body of Christ and the believers. But then He teaches them and sends them forth to preach. The heart then to take what you have and share it with others. You see Jesus with the 12, but then you see Him out on the hillside with the multitudes. Constantly there was that both in the life of Jesus. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And He kind of described the Christian life this way. He said, follow Me and I'll make you fishers of men. Your life changed by the gospel will give you an other's orientation. You will learn to love people around you who have not yet heard the good news. The command of Christ then is to pursue with His presence in us. This isn't in our power. It's through the living Christ and the Holy Spirit. We pursue an outward focus on making disciples and then being His witnesses to the whole world. This is the will of God for us. He says, all power is given unto Me. Go ye therefore and make disciples. So we have this heart. I want to be a disciple. I want to make disciples. Yes, I'm going to be focused on the body of Christ and helping others to believe and have roots in Christ. But then as I'm going into the world, I'm to carry this good news to the uttermost part of the world. And Jesus said, you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem. That's our Midland, Michigan, Tri-City area. In Judea, that's mid-Michigan. In Samaria, that's the state of Michigan, unto the uttermost part of the world. That's America and the whole world. The circle is to always be going outward. It starts right here in our own home, our own marriage, our own life, but it doesn't end there. It builds from there and it expands. Well, as we come to partake of the communion, wrap your thoughts around these suggestions as you pray about how God would use you to have an outward focus, an ever-growing outward focus. Just take these thoughts with you as we kind of wrap our thoughts together here and come to prayer. By God's grace, I will prioritize my life around both knowing Christ and making him known, both ministry to believers and witness to non-believers. See, God's call is to know Christ and to make him known. God's call is to love believers and love non-believers. God calls us to both. So it starts here. Am I a believer? Have I humbled myself and trusted Christ? That's where it all starts. And then it grows out from there. I will intentionally seek to be a witness for Christ. Jesus commissioned that, didn't he? He said in Acts 1:8, ye shall be my witnesses. Lord, I accept that responsibility. That is your will for me. And you use ordinary people like Mary, like Joseph, and even people who blew it at times. You know, think about it in the Bible. Noah, he messed up with alcohol. Think about David. He failed at home. Think about Peter. He denied the Lord. Think about John Mark in a time of ministry early in his life. He just gave up. But all of these people were people of faith. They failed, but they were not failures. They confessed their failure. They got back up and they went on to live for God, and they were used of God, and God can use us. Even though all of us at times have failed, we're not failures because Christ is in us. He can use us. It's the Christ in us that changes people. It's not us. It's Christ. And so then to say to God, Lord, I will bear witness by my life and my lips. I'm going to share this good news of the power of Christ and the gospel. And his death and burial and resurrection are not just words and empty doctrine. It's a true and living relationship because he lives in me. I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to look into the many tools that we have to help me and equip me to be a better witness for Christ. Out here at this end of the gallery, you'll see a whole area designated as evangelism and discipleship tools. We have some great things there to help you. The exchange Bible study that you can do with a non-believer that will lead them to see the truth. It's just a wonderful little tool there. The bridge track, the salvation tracks that we have in our track racks. We have a number of tools, the Share Jesus Without Fear evangelism approach. We just have a number of tools, materials out there to help you share the gospel and then help newer believers to grow in their faith. There's a little Bible study booklet out there called First Steps, and it can be used to lead a non-believer to Christ and then lead them as a believer into an in-depth walk with God daily. So look at those materials out there and avail yourself of those. And then just finally, I will intentionally seek to build friendships and relationships with non-believers out of love. I'm going to build friendships. It's often said, and I think wisely so, people don't care how much we know till they know how much we care. And it's as we build friendships with people, and not necessarily just on a spiritual level, but I'm so thrilled when I hear of people who, hey, they went out to lunch with a friend who's not yet a believer, just to build a friendship. Had somebody over for coffee or somebody over for a meal. Someone shares their personal testimony of how God's working in their life. Someone, I've heard of different ones here in our church family that have successfully used the exchange Bible study in a Bible study that has led others who've come now to put their faith in Jesus. And so it's a thrill to hear how God is working in the body. And there are people who are inviting folks to come to their life group or come to church, our series on living by faith, or come to one of our exchange classes or one of our enrichment classes on a Sunday night. I know so many of you, it is now your lifestyle. You do have an others orientation. God bless you in that. God grow you in that. We all can grow in that. And as we look at this new year, I would encourage us, if you don't have it, refresh it or get it started. Get that list of 5 people who have not yet come to faith that are in your life, a coworker, a family member, someone in your neighborhood, and just begin to pray on a regular basis by name for people. It's amazing when you pray specifically how God answers specifically. I have a man I've prayed for, frankly, It had been such a number of months that he wasn't on my recent list of people to pray for, but I'd prayed for him in the past. Just yesterday, we went out to eat, and I ran into him. And it was just a divine appointment. And we talked, and I invited him. He's visited church here. And I said to him, oh, we'd love to see you back. And he says, you know, I need to come and see you. I've been thinking about coming back to church. You know, there's so many people in our lives that are unchurched. They're either unsaved or maybe they're a believer, but they're not growing. They're not connected in a local body where they can be fed and encouraged in fellowship. And I just know that even though I hadn't prayed by name for him recently, I know I've prayed by name for him in the past. God brought our paths together yesterday. And I just said, thank you, Lord. That was a divine appointment. That was from you. And I know you will experience those divine appointments in your life as you pray specifically for others. And then the final invitation I want to give to us is this, in this idea of an outward focus. Lord, give me a heart for the body of Christ, but give me a heart for those who have not yet believed. I would encourage you, pray about, Lord, would you lead me to someone that I could invite? Now, many of you are really into the wild game thing. I love it because I love hunting and fishing, and so that's a natural for me. Some of you, you don't get excited about eating kangaroo. You know, that just doesn't, that just, that, and you may not come to the wild game dinner, but that night, that weekend, very good speaker, he'll be with us then on Sunday. So we'll have a wild game Sunday. And whether or not many of us will come to that dinner and we'll try to fill up a table of people we're going to bring with us because we know they'll hear the gospel that night. But some of you may not come to that event, and the next day on Wild Game Sunday, you know the gospel is going to be shared. And most of us know people, we live in Michigan, don't we, who like hunting and fishing. Whether you're into it or not, it's a tool to use to just connect with some non-believers who need to know that creator of that beautiful outdoors that so many of us enjoy. Invite them to come on Wild Game Sunday. Invite them to come with you. Have them sit with you. Why? They're going to hear the gospel that day. And as we each have a love to build relationships, to have an outward focus and pray, Lord, fill me with your love for the world, God will use us. He will use us because Christ said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail. But he says, be laborers together with me. Be co-laborers. Build the kingdom of God because I'm in you and I will work through you.